November the 7th was a Tuesday, so that means Jed Williams had the UVA Writers Roundtable on WINA's Best Seat in the House. Jed welcomed Chris Wright of thesabre.com. Jed and Chris talked about why UVA struggled on the road under Al Groh.
Special truncated Tuesday night edition of the Best Seat in the House. Usually 2 hours, tonight 60 minutes, right to 7 o'clock because of election coverage 2006. Got a big old roundtable coming in here for a special edition of Charlottesville right now. Coy Barefoot, Sean O'Brien, my former head resident advisor at Humphrey's Old Dorms, now with the UVA Center for Politics, Larry Sabato's right-hand man, Joshua Scott. Who am I forgetting? Bob Gibson, Gibby, from the Charlottesville Daily Progress. Hey, Mancini might be involved for all we know because Joey's a politico, even though he can't seem to get any political classes because he was late getting onto ISIS.
Yeah.
But I was excoriated. I mean, I was just absolutely drilled by one of our callers during the break for talking about politics. Evidently, people don't look at me as they do one of our fops, Larry Sabato, and that would be a leading light in the political game.
You're an Irvin.
What's that?
You're an Irvin.
I am. I'm a one-track mind.
You are an Irvin.
I'm an Irvin.
The more I think about it, I think you're an Irvin.
That's all I got, baby. I got sports and uncomfortable
Chris and I
dad
can start
jokes.
Talking politics.
What can I
do? I don't talk about politics.
Can I talk,
don't talk about
I can talk.
I know about it, but I don't talk about
what
it.
What about like bad 80s? I'm good at bad 80s movie references. Does that count as something? No. Okay, games on the field, 977-1070, 977-1070, 1-800-688-9462. Let's talk some Cavalier football with you. Chris Wright here from thesabre.com. That's Mancini, V-Hill, Spears outside. I'm the Jetteroo, Jed Williams. Come on with us, talk some football or some men's basketball a little bit later in the program. If you're the best Cavalier caller tonight, we'll hook you up with a month subscription to the Sabre Edge. That's all that exclusive content from thesabre.com that includes some Best Seat podcasts. Chris, more on the road woes. Let's start a little broader here. Is this a program condition or complex at this point, or is this still a team-by-team circumstance? In the sense of, can you look at this and go, well, you know, in 2002, it didn't happen for him because of this. In 2004, the factors, or is this a program problem across the board at this stage?
Yeah, from Al Groh's standpoint, it's a year-to-year thing because no one year is related to the other. But from a fan standpoint and from a writer standpoint, it is a program-wide thing. It's something they are in a funk and have been in one for a while, and if they don't get it figured out, they'll never be as successful as they could be.
How do you get yourself in that rut, other than the obvious point of just losing a lot of games, which gets you in that rut? How do you get to this sort of level of, I don't know, complex or psychosis, where you're constantly rolling the ball uphill and never getting it uphill on the road?
I don't know that's that easy of an answer. I think it kind of feeds on itself, and like you said, fans kind of have a defeatist attitude because that's the way it is, and, you know, like, it wears on your psyche, even though players say it doesn't and coach says it doesn't. It does. It wears on you.
If you could pin it down to one thing, is that possible more than anything else? One overriding factor, one overriding motive why this team and program continue to struggle on the road 5.5 years in? Does it come back to what we talked to on the other side of the break, and that was overall approach or demeanor? Is that the biggest thing, do you think?
It's probably the biggest contributing factor, but the ultimate on-field thing that's the biggest issue is a lack of plays. I think I called your show once before I was even at the Sabre and said, hey, they don't have enough consistent big play threats. That's Virginia's biggest problem. I think your topic was what is Virginia's biggest issue as a team.
Yeah.
And that's it. Alvin Pierman had his moments. Wally Lundy was never a big play kind of guy. He would rattle off a handful of yards at a time. No big time receiver, no big time punt returner.
When was the last dynamic guy on the edge for Virginia? Billy McMullen? Was he dynamic?
Nope.
Jermaine Crowell, maybe?
Not really.
Mid to late 90s? What are we talking about here? Are we talking early 90s? Are we talking Herman Moore?
I mean, you could maybe argue Ahmad Brooks' sophomore year as linebacker would be their last big play kind of guy on either side of the ball.
Period, right.
But that was 1 year. So in terms of a career big play huge guy, it may go all the way back to Tiki.
Yeah.
Or maybe Thomas Jones. And Thomas was more of a slasher that would break off 25, 30-yard runs at times, not truly explosive big play kind of guy.
And in terms of wide receivers, dynamic players on the perimeter, I don't know that they've ever had a player that resembles a Peter Warwick or somebody like that at Florida State. Or even, I mean, when's the last time they even had a guy like Eddie Royal who can return punts and return kicks and play in the slot?
Petey Allen, maybe?
Yeah. I mean, Marcus Hagans when he was there for about 10 minutes.
I mean, it's just they haven't had a consistent big play threat, and that shows up more on the road than it does at home. I really think it does because you can't sustain drives on the road. You just can't.
Chris Wright is here, UVA writer, singular, Writers Roundtable, on a Tuesday night right to 7 o'clock with your phone calls. Let's get them in, folks. We've got 15 minutes to squeeze these Cavalier questions and comments in at 977-1070 and 1-800-688-9462. when you look at the other day and big plays, is it not just Virginia's inability to create big plays, but the fact that Virginia also seems to give up titanic plays on the road more so than at home?
Oh, it's absolutely both. There always seems to be that one momentum-changing play, although the people that watch the game put more into that than the people playing and coaching the game. But nonetheless, momentum seems to always swing against Virginia at huge, huge times
in
road games.
Can't you almost identify each of those moments in each of the four road losses this year? I mean, each of the four games hasn't really been close. Pittsburgh, Georgia Tech, East Carolina, and Florida. But let's literally go through this. I mean, Pittsburgh, what is it? Maybe the Olsen interception on the goal line. Georgia Tech, it's the touchdown pass to Calvin Johnson
before halftime.
And then the one on the other side of the half that put the game away. And then, what am I for? East Carolina, the big play with the missed tackle that leads to the snap at the goal line that gets away from Pinckney, where
that
he picks it up
and
runs it in.
The big play got him within the five.
Right, and then the other day, the two big plays in the opening five minutes.
It's really easy to pick out, and you could probably go through every game on the road schedule other than North Carolina last year for a long, long time and pick out one big play that beat Virginia or swung the game.
Right. 977-1070, good buddy of the show. Link is with us on line one. What's up, Link?
Hey, Jed.
How you doing, sir?
Hey, just looking at the results from 2004 down at Tallahassee and the results from last week.
Yep.
We lost by 33 both times.
Mm-hmm.
Did we get any better? Probably not. Did we get any worse? Probably not. The question you have to ask is, how good was Florida State both those years?
That's what concerns me, Link, and I'm going to defer this to Chris, is I think Florida State is 10 times worse this year than they were in 2004. They were the number 7 team in the country in 2004 for a reason, with that defense, with a better offensive line, with a more stable quarterback situation, with two good running backs. And Virginia was 33 points worse than them on that day as a top 10 program, and Virginia was 33 points worse than this Florida State team the other day. That doesn't bode well for UVA.
No.
Link, what do you think? What's that, sir?
I'm sorry. Let me counter. When they came in here last year, they were number 4 in the nation, and they lost here at Scott Stadium. So.
And then they tumbled, yeah.
But can you argue that maybe that tumble was starting 2 years ago in that FSU program?
It could have. I think you can make the case. The Florida State tumble began in 2001 when they had to start Chris Ricks as a redshirt freshman, went to North Carolina and lost 41-9. I thought that was kind of the beginning of the end of the Florida State dynasty, Chris, when you considered where they had been at the quarterback position and the high level of excellence, and beyond that, just the cycle they'd gotten into of being able to rotate players, being able to redshirt players, and suddenly they weren't able to do that at the most prominent position on the field, and they went from playing for national championships to getting killed by an unranked team.
Well, I think this Saturday showed just how amazing Marcus Hagans was a year ago, as much as anything else.
One man game.
Because the pressure was very similar last year. He just somehow wiggled and weaseled and Houdini'd his way around the field and made plays. But that's something that he wasn't able to do on the road when he had his start down, his first ever career start down there at Florida State. So I don't know. They're just not very good on the road, and it's not something that is a snap your fingers and fix it.
Now, Link, do you have a good, convenient answer for the road woes? Because Chris and Mancini and I are really struggling with this one.
It's an oversimplification, but we just seem to play better at home.
Whatever the mentality is, that seems to be it, right?
You know, I mean, for lack of a better explanation.
Well, and that's the thing. I don't think anybody has a better explanation. If we did, we would have put our finger on it long ago.
If we could have bottled that answer, we'd be rich people, wouldn't we?
Indeed, and trust me, we're in radio, so we're definitely not that. Thanks, buddy. Good to hear from you. That's Link with us on line one. Opens the phone line, 977-1070. 977-1070, 1-800-688-9462. What about game planning, coaching on the road? Is Virginia, quote-unquote, going for broke, going for the gusto, shoving chips to the middle of the table enough? Hard to do when you don't have a ton of dynamic playmakers, but does Virginia need to force the issue even that much more when it doesn't have those guys to try to create something like that?
I personally thought the game plan was really good on Saturday. A lot of people have disagreed with me. They tried to mix in some designed runs for Sewell. They didn't get out of it fast enough once it, you know, showed that Florida State had prepared for it really well. You know, like, they did take some shots downfield early. The pass to Fontel Mines that was intercepted was just a bad read by Sewell, but it was about 12 yards downfield. They came out throwing.
Did you like that? 7 of the first 10 plays were throws. This had been a team that had run the ball very effectively, had gotten back to the power and authority bread and butter the 2 weeks before that. Go to a place like Tallahassee where you know the pressure's going to come if you throw the ball. Should they have run it a little bit more early on to try to, quote-unquote, establish that comfort zone?
No, I think they were trying to set a tone that we're going to go after this. We're going to you know, try to throw it around on them a little bit. Florida State really shuts down the run. That's something they are exceptional at. So, that defense is still pretty good, even though that program has declined. The defense is still tough to move the ball slowly on. So I think they were trying to set a tone early. It just didn't work.
We're taking more phone calls right to 7 o'clock. Nelson and Jim, hang in there. I'm getting to both you guys on the other side of a quick timeout. We do need to go to break right now, and we'll come right back, get to your phone calls, and take you right to 7 o'clock.
Josh Scott is here.
Josh Scott is here. Coy Barefoot is here. Oh, my goodness. The Cognoscenti has arrived for Election Day 2006. Back on the best seat after this.